Good afternoon. It is Election Day in America. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. Every one of our phone lines is lit up. We've got texts pouring in. When we start getting to your calls, make your point. You know, take your time. Make your full point. But just be as brief as you can so we can get to as many people as possible. And I know our phones are going to be jammed all afternoon. We do want to get to as many people as possible. A Georgia judge in Atlanta said that he is rejecting a Republican lawsuit that was trying to block counties from opening election offices on Saturday and Sunday to let voters hand in their mail-in ballots in person. So, you know, I guess that's an opportunity for some controversy. We're heading into, you know, just the final moments. There are people who still have not voted, and everybody has the freedom to vote for who they want to vote for. And by the way, I have never told anybody on this show not to vote for Donald Trump. You vote for who you want to vote for. We're hearing from Donald Trump and Kamala Harris in the last few hours before the voting comes to an end.
So how are the candidates feeling as this election draws to a close?
I am feeling great.
We've been waiting for 4 years for this. 4 years.
Can you feel it? We have momentum, right?
With your vote on Tuesday, I will end inflation. I will stop the invasion of massive numbers of criminals coming into our country. Thank you very much, Kamala and Joe.
We are ready for a president who knows the true measure of a leader is not based on who you beat down. It is based on who you lift up.
And in a presidential contest that experts say could not be closer, the first votes cast on Election Day in tiny Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, were evenly split, 3 for Donald Trump and 3 for Kamala Harris. I'm Rita Foley.
Yeah, I was watching that live last night. It's quite fascinating to see that first place that opens up the polls just after midnight on Election Day. All right, so Kamala Harris on the campaign trail says she wants everybody in America to have a chance at success.
My approach is about recognizing the dignity in all people, but not everyone has access to the opportunity to live their ambitions and dreams. And I believe in giving people access to opportunity so they can soar.
And speaking to reporters before he voted in South Florida, former President Donald Trump has got to be tired. I mean, these candidates both have to be tired. And I'll tell you, for Donald Trump's age 78, this guy's got a hell of a lot of energy. Donald Trump was asked just before voting if there could be violence by his supporters if he doesn't win.
My supporters are not violent people. I don't have to tell them that. And I certainly don't want any violence, but I certainly don't have to tell. These are great people. These are people that believe in no violence. Unlike your question, you believe in violence.
That's an interesting answer. All right, let's get to your calls. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us on Election Day. We're talking about voting. Have you voted? How was it? Are you voting for the first time? And what did that feel like? And also, who do you think is going to win and why? Let's go to Lafayette. Charlie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
I have to. First of all, I'll tell you, those last four callers were entertaining as hell. I just want to let you know. I think, you know, they just should not sugarcoat. They need to tell us how they really feel. You know, but in all honesty, I had a friend of mine said, there's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans. And I say, no, I disagree. In 2000 and 2016, the loser conceded. We had a peaceful transfer of power. And January 6th, 2001 and 17 was just like any other day. In 2020, the loser never conceded. We did not really have a peaceful transfer of power, though it was forced. And the winner stood by while the Capitol was under attack. And I said, there's your difference. And to the lady that was on there, you know, and I think it's terrible when these young children get rape like that, and no matter who it's by, a citizen or an illegal alien or whoever does it. But the one thing I will say, the hypocrisy of the right, if let's say a 10 or 11 year old girl gets raped by a legal alien, they will expect in certain states on the right that for that 11 year old to carry that pregnancy to term. So there's a lot of hypocrisy in this, and I just want to see divided government when this is all over, and I just want to see people. Where is Abraham Lincoln when we need him?
Well, he's not here. Charlie, I'm glad you called. And, you know, I like the idea of divided government. And that doesn't mean like, you know, divided, like America's divided. But Charlie's talking about if a Democrat wins the White House, then Republicans control Capitol Hill. If Republicans are in the White House, then Democrats control Capitol Hill. I think in some ways, you know, even though nothing gets done, that's a problem. Nothing gets done. I like the concept of government divided, but, you know, maybe in some ways it's better if one party gets the full run of it, and then we can either applaud them or blame them for what happens or what doesn't happen. Let's go to Steve in Mississippi. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. Just wanted to say this lecture reminded me of an old saying. I'm sure you've heard it before. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, want to buy some gold shoes? Or maybe an NFT with me as a superhero? Or a $100,000 watch? Or a Bible made in China? I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah, I have, and we're reminded of it by you.
All right. Have a good one. Get on to the people waiting in line.
All right, Steve. Glad you called. Let's go to Stan in Slidell. Hey, Stan.
Hey, how you doing, Scoop?
Good.
I'm looking at this, and I'm hoping, you know, as Americans, we can see that these two candidates, we're actually hiring them for the highest position in America, and it's a job. So if you're the interviewer, you should ask for a background, and when he tells you or she tells you, hey, I got 34 counts of indictments against me, that right there should raise a flag and say, hey, thank you for applying. Don't call us. We'll call you. And it's just crazy to me that folks would look the other way on these things and say, well, he'll be okay for us. And it boggles the mind with me.
Stan, you know, that's interesting because, you know, there's one side that says, man, I mean, 32 counts. You've been found guilty of 32 felony counts. What the hell are you doing running for office? Well, right here in the New Orleans area, we have we've seen felons get elected, and it can happen. To one side, it really matters. To the other side, it's like, well, it was all set up. It was kind of fake. It really was not. It wasn't a fair trial, even though there was a jury of Donald Trump's peers that made that decision. You know, depending on where your political ideology lies, you decide whether or not the system of justice is fair. And so, again, therein lies the lack of respect for the facts, which I brought up in the blog that I wrote, which is posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. I'm going to share some of your comments from the SOTA Facebook page. It's titled, Remember Ronald Reagan's Words Before the 1980 Election. And I go through the blog, and at the end, I close out by reminding us of Ronald Reagan's words on the eve of the election, 1980. And I brought this up with the hope that maybe one day we get back to that. But I brought up Ronald Reagan's words on the eve of the election of 1980 just to remind us of how different it is today and how much we have progressed into political darkness. Larry is on the road. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
Good.
I got a few things I want to say right quick.
Okay.
And first of all, there's a reason why I don't care for Donald Trump being president is the fact that you got a guy who called and say Mark Morial is a disgrace because Al Sharpton shows up to his mother's funeral. You got another lady who calls and put down migrants because four or five migrants, maybe 10, out of all the millions that done come over here did a few things wrong. Then you got a president, a guy who wants to be president who claims, talks about this when the wall should have been built 4 years ago. And there's a scripture in the Bible says, so is a man thinketh, so is he. A cheater always claiming somebody else is cheating. That's why he called Georgia to say, Georgia, give me some extra votes. He's a cheater, so he thinks somebody else is always cheating.
You know, see, this is a really good point. You know, I believe that people who cheat on their spouses are really skeptical and very jealous of their spouse because they think if they've done it, their spouse is doing it too. And I think there is something to that. People who cheat think everybody else is a cheater too. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. I'm Scoot on the air. We're coming back with more of your comments. The Okinor Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. It's Election Day 2024. More of your calls coming up next on WWL. You know, for all of those of you who talk about term limits, I remind you that every Election Day, you have the power to limit the terms of politicians. Do you do it? No, you continue to vote in your guy or your woman because you believe that they have power because of their seniority. So, you know, the American people don't really want term limits because every election day we can vote them out. But we keep voting in the same people. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. There is no reason to believe that this is not going to be a fair and free election, just like 2020. No reason to believe that whatsoever. And it's fascinating that the groundwork is already being laid for this being a fraudulent election. What if Trump wins? Should the Harris people say, well, wait a minute, you talked about election fraud. You won. We're going to investigate election fraud. I don't understand the wisdom in declaring this. Well, I guess I do. I guess it's because Donald Trump might think he's going to lose. But we don't know who's going to win. And are the polls accurate? We'll know tomorrow whether or not the polls were accurate. And have you voted? Have you voted for the first time? What did that feel like? I remember the first time I voted. And I was very, very proud. I turned 18. I voted in the next election. And I was damn proud to be voting. And I have to tell you that when I went to vote earlier today, I was as proud to be voting at this point in my life. Having voted all these many, many years, over and over and over again, I have not lost that feeling of what it feels like to vote as a patriotic American citizen. You know, this is a system that is admired around the world. And look what we have done as a country. Not all of us, but look what some people have done in this country to try and jeopardize the image that we have of a fair and free election. And a lot of this could be at the hands of the Russians, who are trying to create this idea that it's not a fair and free election. And some of the bogus information that you receive about some voter irregularity, sometimes that could be coming from Russians. If you want to join us, the Okinor Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. More of your calls coming up, more of your texts coming up. Kamala Harris says that she wants everybody to be happy. She also said in an appearance on the Big Tigger Morning Show on V103, this was this morning, she said that she was asked if she has any thoughts on the history that will be made if she wins.
I've just been so focused on the task in front of me. The reflection has only been about making sure that I'm responding to the needs of folks around the policies. So, we got to get it done.
You know, I understand history. I understand, like, the first woman to do something or the first African-American to do something. I understand the historic value of that. But I think as a country, we really need to focus more on just the person. Just the person. Who is the person? And at some point, we're going to get around not always focusing on gender and race and just focus on the person. Donald Trump was asked about the chance that neither candidate will have enough electoral votes to win tonight.
A thing like that should never happen. This election should be over. They spend all this money on machines. And frankly, if they'd use paper ballots, it would be over by 10 o'clock.
Wait a minute. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. The machines could be working perfectly well, and this could be an electoral tie. It would be an electoral tie because of the votes people cast. So Donald Trump is totally off on this. The fact that this might be an electoral tie, I doubt that it will be, but if it is, that has nothing to do with the machines. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, Donald Trump goes 70-plus years with no indictments at all, and all of a sudden he has indictments the last 8 years. That's what doesn't make sense to me. He didn't just up and change.
Well, no, but when you're president and when you're a former president, you know, people are going to look for stuff and they're going to dig stuff up and they're going to find stuff out about you and they may charge you as a result of that. Donald Trump chose to get into this business. Donald Trump chose to be a target. Kamala Harris chose to be a target. If you're a politician, you're a target from the other side. And, you know, you have to be aware of that. And if you have done something wrong or if you do something wrong, there's going to be more scrutiny on you than the average citizen. Whether that's fair or not, that's reality.
I've never been indicted for anything.
Yeah,
I'm 40. Either. If I go out and commit a crime today and am indicted for it, it shouldn't surprise anybody that I went 40 years without. Like, you understand, like, why?
Yeah.
And it's not as if he didn't have any legal issues at all. He got all kind of class action lawsuits for the Trump University thing, discrimination lawsuits going back to the 1970s and 80s, all these business disputes, bankruptcies, tax issues. These were all civil suits. He was never criminally charged with anything. But, you know, disabuse yourself of the idea that Donald Trump, like, never got in trouble for doing anything, you know, untoward or off color before he became president. He absolutely did.
And I'm a lot closer to Trump's age than you are. And I've never been indicted.
Well, if you committed a crime tomorrow and then got indicted right. for it a year from
yeah,
now, no one should wonder why.
You know, and dismissing Donald Trump's indictment issue is to, you know, basically encourage the mistreatment of women. I don't know. It's kind of confusing. But, you know, again, it's the only thing that matters is what you believe.
Here's a text from Paul in Michigan. He says, hey, if a man is so petty that he cheats at golf, can he really be trusted with anything?
Yeah, we heard a lot of cheating stories, although I've heard that Donald Trump has become a really good golfer.
Here's a text. This one's a little bit longer. Stick with me. This one says, I believe the nation's attitude regarding holding the highest office in the land will be looked at differently if Trump wins. And I say this because Harris's statements are based on exaggerations, things that all politicians use to get elected. But Trump's statements are dangerous lies that promote violence, hatred, and division. If Trump is elected, will parents tell their kids that anyone can become president? Because you can be a convicted felon, you can be a sexual abuser, a poor businessman with multiple bankruptcies, and a habitual liar, so you need not be special. Sad.
Yeah, you know, I agree to some degree. The office of the presidency is looked upon differently. And there are those who will not respect the office of the presidency if Kamala Harris is elected. Remember the Republicans who just did not even respect the office of the presidency because Obama won? Oh, well, he didn't deserve it. I mean, he doesn't deserve it. He abuses the Constitution. So I'm not going to respect the office because he doesn't deserve it. But those same people demanded that everybody respect the office because Trump was president. So, again, you know, there is the blatant hypocrisy in America.
A number of people texted in a sort of variation on this text, but I've picked this one out. You know, Janice was, you know, kind of raving at the end of the last hour about how these illegal immigrants have raped people since they've come to America. This text says, hey, tell Miss Janice, has she forgotten? She is voting for a rapist.
Yeah, well, interesting point. But again, in the minds of callers like Janice, in the minds of those people who are supporting Donald Trump, they don't care. Or he's not a rapist in their mind. Being a rapist is subjective. It's not based on the actual act itself. And again, what illegals do is horrible. But why hasn't somebody done a study of the illegals who raped people when Donald Trump was president? This idea that illegals only commit acts of rape and only commit acts of violence against American citizens when a Democrat is in the White House just doesn't hold water for me. Now, I don't have the staff to do this, but it's surprising that somebody has not come up with that information, because I would be certain that there were rapes and murders that took place by illegal immigrants when Trump was president. There were illegal immigrants in America when Trump was president. Did none of them commit any crimes? That's just not believable. From Ocean Springs, Joey, welcome to our show.
How you doing, Scoot? First time caller. Glad to be on the show.
Joey, first time caller. We're going to give you the special treatment today on Election Day. I appreciate you listening over in Ocean Springs. Beautiful area. I love that little quaint area of downtown Ocean Springs with all the shops and stuff. That's really special.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Peter Anderson Festival, man, it's really going.
Yeah. All right, so what has you calling in today?
All right, you got me with your lesser of two evils comment. I think you're wrong there. I just think this cycle we just had two weak candidates. And what it basically comes down to is moral versus immoral. And to listen to Ms. Janus talking about Trump's policies, he doesn't have policies. He has grievances. That's all he has. I voted for the guy in 2016. I thought the whole apprentice, you're fired thing was pretty cool. And then he showed his character over the next 4 years. And then four more years, he's just deteriorated. He's been a menace to society, a chaos agent. Let's just get it. The Republicans, just hold your nose. Let Kamala win. It was 4 years. Then get your stuff together. Come up with a better candidate. But if he wins, which I don't think he will, because you can see they leave his rallies early now. I think the show's finally over for him. But if he were to win, Russia, North Korea, Hungary, they all become allies because he worships dictators. So I just think the show's finally over. Right. He said a long time ago, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. Well, for the most part, he has. He's gotten his own followers to dress in garbage bags, for Christ's sake. But I think the show's coming to an end. And just like you said earlier, erase the hate. I'm sick and tired of the hate.
Joey, I really appreciate the call, and thanks for being an FTC. You know, for those of you who sometimes suggest on my Facebook page or in an email or even on the air suggest, well, you know, why are you doing this show? Why are you not a conservative? This is a red area. That call just came in from Ocean Springs, Mississippi. I get calls from Mississippi, from St. Bernard Parish, from Baton Rouge, from down on the bayou, from New Orleans, from St. Tammany Parish, from Jefferson Parish, from all over this entire Plaquemines Parish. I get calls from this entire area from people who are not conservative. And I am very proud that this show has been an alternative and continues to be an alternative to the plethora of right-wing, copycat, conservative shows across this country that do nothing but echo each other. There are very few original thoughts in conservative radio. Very few. The thoughts and what they talk about filters down from a central location, from a few central people who are setting the agenda. And I hear it on this show all the time. If something new hits conservative social media, people start calling up with those exact same words. So I know it's a parroting of the information. So I am damn proud of this show. And even conservatives are call into this show and are welcome to this show. But this show has also become a home for people who felt like they were marginalized. They were disenfranchised from the whole talk radio thing because all of talk radio is conservative. No, it's not, and it doesn't have to be. I'm going to take a break here. If you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back with more of your calls and more of your texts. I am going to get to some of the comments on the SOTA Facebook page. All right, one of the problems that we have is candidates promise us things. They both do. Kamala Harris is promising things she cannot deliver. Donald Trump is promising things he cannot deliver, but people buy into it and they vote for these people thinking, yes, they're going to give us this. They're going to get, you know, it's all about give the people what they want. The problem is people, they can't give you what they say they're going to give you. It might be what you want, but and you're voting for them because they're going to give this to you. The sad truth is, don't vote for them because you think they're going to give you these promises because they're not. And I guarantee you, Donald Trump is not going to make inflation go away the first day he takes office in January if he wins. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. It's Election Day 2024. I'm Scoot on the air. We're going to get to more of your calls here in just a moment. Here are a few comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. The blog is about Election Day in America and how we have digressed to this low point in the just the dark ages of politics. And at the end, I bring up the words of Ronald Reagan when he was talking to his voters in the country on the eve of Election Day, 1980. And that's posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And if you haven't, I hope you'll join us there. Barry says the Democrats called Reagan a fascist, as they've done with every Republican since 1948. You know, Barry, there are always going to be extremists. And, you know, that's not all Democrats. In fact, Ronald Reagan was so popular with Democrats, and you might want to look this up, that there was a term referred to Democrats as Reagan Democrats. That's how popular Ronald Reagan was with the Democrats. In fact, Reagan won because he was popular with the Democrats, because you have to get the other side to vote for you if you want to win. So, Barry, you might want to look that up. Michael says, interesting article showing even Black Lives Matter is not believing Harris's crap. And there's an article link here. Bill says that dude that's referred to in the article, that dude was at a Proud Boys rally last year. No news here. Certainly not any indicator of anything. And then Michael says, I'm sure you have proof of that. And Bill comes back with an article link that apparently sets the record straight on that. Again, you can give us your comment by going to Scoot on the Air Facebook. Let's get back to a few of your calls. Let's go to Michael in Metairie. Michael, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, first of all, I just want to say that I've been trying cases in federal court for 50 years. And if I walked in next week and I saw the opposing attorney was Ian, knees would start shaking. He is so brilliant.
Well, thank you. That's a compliment.
What are you laughing at?
No, I'm saying it's a great compliment. I'm not.
Well, it
laughing.
Is, but I don't think it deserved a laugh. But
well,
anyway,
it's not. You know, hey, come on, Michael. It was a chuckle that you would make that comment about Ian. Not that it's
okay,
a bad thing,
I'll,
but just that
I'll
it's out of the
you.
Ordinary. Okay, all right.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
I love Ian. Ian's in the position he's in part because of me. I mean, I made him part of the show because I have confidence in him and because I like what he does.
I wish he was a lawyer. I'd hire him immediately for my firm.
That's a compliment.
I want to quote from the most prestigious economic journal in the world. It's called The Economist. Here's the quote. An economy with an unemployment rate of 4% and a per-person GDP of $85,000 does not have to be made great again. It is great. They were talking about the United States under Biden. And by the way, about 4 years ago, a right-wing lady friend of the family, when I told her I was voting for Biden, she says, oh, it's going to be a terrible recession. All my friends tell me it's going to be so bad. All my stocks and my pension plan is going to go to nothing. So I asked her a couple of weeks ago, how's your stocks and your pension plan? Oh, it's the greatest in history. She says it is fabulous now.
Yeah, so I know people. I know people that are depending on their 401k plans, and they get really depressed when they're down. A lot of people are really, really up right now. They're still going to vote for Trump, but they can't help but realize there's a little bit of hypocrisy there when they talk about how bad the economy is, because in a lot of ways the economy is booming for a lot of Americans and a lot of Republicans.
How about Trump says if we're going to drill, baby, drill. Guess what? Oil production in America is the highest in history. By the way, I love what you brought about Reagan talking about the fairness doctrine. I didn't even realize that. But I thought it was so appropriate that Reagan against fairness was the perfect metaphor. But here it is. Here's one of the things that in my book on Reagan. The House and the Senate both passed sanctions against South Africans' terrible apartheid policies against the blacks overwhelmingly. And Reagan vetoed it, saying that Nelson Mandela is a terrorist. That's Ronald Reagan, the racist. Guess what happened? He was overturned, that veto, unanimously almost.
Well,
that's kind of person he is. Why you want to quote that guy?
Well, you know, look, I know that that Ronald Reagan was controversial to a lot of people. I get that. But I bring out some positive aspects. There are positive aspects of a lot of people, not Hitler, but there are positive aspects of a lot of people. And there's some positive things about some of the things that Ronald Reagan said, because he had really great speechwriters. Ezra in New Orleans, you're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing? First time caller here.
All right. I've got to give you some treatment here. Getting some first-time callers here on Election Day 2024. Did you vote today, Ezra?
I did. I just came back from the polling place. I appreciate the words you said about how important it is for us to take part in this democracy. I'm a young guy. I've only voted in presidential elections against Donald Trump, and I pray to the Lord up above us that this will be the last election that I have to vote against him. Yeah. But what I wanted to call about today was something more local. You know, I've been hearing a lot of folks calling and parroting whatever right-wing entertainer they're listening to, Tucker Carlson, whoever, talking about things that are happening at the border on Florida and New York, but very few people actually talking about our state here in Louisiana. And what I'm most focused on is coastal restoration in the state of our current coast, where we have the fastest land loss in the entire world. And I look at the two candidates here, and you have one candidate who, during his presidency, cut funding for coastal restoration to Louisiana, and then you have another one who passed one of the largest environmental funding bills and has provided funding for our coastal restoration. And so we can talk about anything we want, the economy, immigration, anything like that, but none of this matters if we don't have land beneath our feet. And that should be the number one focus of every voter in South Louisiana here, is the existential threat of sea level rise and coastal land loss that's facing us right now.
Ezra, and it's so, really you know, it's an important issue. It's a very important issue.
And exactly.
I'm glad you brought that up. And go ahead.
Yeah, we've got this Amendment 1, which I would encourage folks to take a look at and vote yes on, which would provide even more funding for our coastal restoration. I'd also strongly urge the governor and his cabinet to please match the funds that our federal government is providing for the Mid-Barataria Bay diversion plan, which would allow us to actually rebuild some of our coasts through natural methods.
Ezra, I'm really glad you called. Thanks for being an FTC, and thanks for voting. All right, we have a fun text-off coming up next. It's Tuesday, time for the Tuesday text-off. I don't think either of these candidates is going to be a real threat to democracy.